one should deal with a moribund person. Generally, we are very gingerly in our approach toward dying people. And I wanted to learn how one should react to them in their presence, the kindest way of dealing with them. This, I think, I learned from taking a course on death and dying. I took a course in computer technology and preparation of software, purely because I felt that in this day and age, no one is truly educated unless he knows what computers are, what they can do, what you might expect of them. And I find this is helpful. I have no desire to own a computer of my own. I don't have a need for it. But before I took the course, I thought I would like to have one and it would be of some use to me.
After the course.
However, I understand what they do. One of my daughters-in-law has a computer training school. And I know what she's doing, and I can understand it. Both of my sons use computers in their daily endeavors. We can talk the same language. It has been helpful.
Have you, during the course of your life, ever had any hobbies, such as working with your hands?
I've always liked to work with my hands. When I lived in houses, as opposed to apartments, I used to enjoy doing a lot of the work around the house. And early in our marriage, my wife and I enrolled in a class at Taylor Alderdice, where we took a course in woodworking. And I remember we made a beautiful wooden slide and put it in our backyard.
Ooh.
And our sons and their friends all slid down it. And we made a number of other things. And I've taken up the metal sculpture, where I worked with the oxyacetylene torch. I can't do it now in an apartment. It would be too dangerous. And my wife has worked with silver, made silver jewelry, gold jewelry. And she enjoys working with her hands, too. I still do things around the house, but nothing as ambitious as metal sculpture. And I still enjoy seeing the metal sculpture distributed around in the homes of my children and other relatives to whom I gave these.
Did you raise your children differently than you were raised? Looking back on the home that you grew up in, were there things that you did not want to do with your children, or things that you did want to do with your children that were not done with you or for you? Did you make conscious decisions about raising the boys?
Well, to begin with, my own upbringing. As I mentioned, there were 11 of us and then 10. We didn't get the close attention that the small family can give to its children. We grew up, our parents were both busy making a livelihood, and we knew we were expected to behave, and there weren't the ugly influences that are existent, the temptations that are existent for children today. I don't recall ever having temptations such as children are subjected.
You mean drugs and alcohol? And
that was not, it's not even thought of.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have toys to speak of. I got some skates, and it's my recollection, I bought them myself, and I used them so much I can recall that I wore out the wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And then, too, in those days, there weren't automobiles around. There were a few automobiles, I recall reading in the paper about somebody being hit by an automobile going at the great speed of 7 miles an hour.
Wow.
Then, too, I remember when I was on my skates, and there was one smoothly paved street where I lived, I could grab a grip on a car and take a ride on my skates. They weren't going too fast, but most of the vehicles were horse and wagon, the streets always had piles of manure on them. In those days, where we lived, there was no spare ground. Everything was built up.
And you had a paper route, didn't you?
Yes, I had a paper route, a daily route, and a Sunday route. There was nothing to divert me,
mm-hmm.
And as long as I could remember, I decided I wanted to be a lawyer, and that was it. I don't know of any of the children with whom I played who strayed and got into serious difficulties with the law. I know that a large percentage of these same children became professionals, whom I met with in Pittsburgh in later years. I can remember only of one case, which I heard about after I had moved to Pittsburgh, where a boy had gotten into a scrape. He was involved in a holdup in which there was a killing, and he went to jail for life.
Mm.
Now, we encountered quite a bit of anti-Semitism, now that I'm talking about my youth again. We lived in a community with a large percentage of Jews, and the Gentiles were primarily of Slavic extraction. And I remember some of these kids shouting anti-Semitic remarks at us.
How did you respond? Did you just ignore them? Or
yes.
Discretion is the better part of that?
Yes, we just ignored it. I remember one kid yelling at me what he thought was Yiddish. Apparently some Jewish person had yelled at him. And it sounded like Gandalian.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment I had to think, and then I realized he was saying the equivalent of go to hell, Gandalian, Gandalian. But that's the sort of thing we ran to. But in those days, I think anti-Semitism was very much overt and pretty general, especially among Slavs.
Mm-hmm. Did you influence your two boys? Both of them are lawyers. Did you guide them into that field?
No. You had asked me, and I didn't answer your former question. You had asked me how, if in any way,
mm-hmm.
the rearing of our sons differed from my own rearing. I think that could be covered in answering this same question. We had agreed, my wife and I, on a deliberate policy of trying to guide through example and not to push. And as a result, we obviously wouldn't try to influence them in any direction. We merely wanted to see that they went on and got a good education and decided for themselves which way they wanted to go. Now, Richard had always been a very good math student, and when he entered Yale, he had made 800s in both of the math college entrance.
The SATs.
However, after 1 year at Yale, he decided he didn't want to be an actuary, as he thought he might, and he then turned in the direction of law.
And where did he go to law school?
He went to law school at Harvard, where he met his wife, who was attending the Graduate School of Education.
And are they still married?
Very much so. And very much in love. And raising two lovely daughters.
Oh, yes, for sure.
No, theirs is a good marriage, fortunately.
Do you have any recollections about the Depression years?
Yes. But I didn't finish with the
We have to go over to Larry.
But I didn't finish with our rearing the boys.
Okay.
We moved into a neighborhood where there were a lot of children, and it was near a very good school.
Linden.
And the boys played together very nicely, and I organized a father's club where under we agreed that a couple of the fathers would take all of the boys on an outing every Sunday, I believe it was. And this worked out very nicely, and to this day the boys have the same friends, among others, that they had formed at that time. Nice bunch of boys. And just as an aside, several years ago, Richard, I don't know why I refer to him as Richard, Rick, came to visit us at our home in Miami. He was taking a tax seminar for a week, and this is the first time we had been alone together in many years. So among other things, I asked him, Rick, what was the most important thing, I think that was the question, that you got out of your home rearing? And he replied, I'm trying to recall his precise words, basically it was a sense of integrity. Needless to say, we were very pleased to hear that, because it's our own feeling that that's basic. And without integrity, you don't have a decent human being. And since this is personal recollection, you'll excuse me if I remark that I believe he's a fine man and a credit to us and to the community. You're nodding your head.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. And he's transmitted this feeling to his children.
I can see it. Now, I've been mentioning Rick, I think, because somehow I think your interests lie more in that direction. However, Larry grew up in the same sort of atmosphere, but the two boys are quite different in temperament, and this is typical. From my observation, all siblings differ, never the same. And Larry had no idea as to what he wanted to study. He enrolled at Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania, and studied a straight liberal arts course without any preference. Then, in his last, when he had finished 3 years, he thought he might want to be a dentist. So he came back to the University of Pittsburgh, and after one semester, realized that he didn't care for that, and he went back to Pennsylvania and was able to complete his bachelor's without any loss of time within the 4-year period. At this point, I did suggest to him that if he had no inclinations in any direction, he should consider studying law, because I felt it would be good training and good background if he went into business or most any other area. He accepted my suggestion and graduated from Pitt Law School 3 years later. He has since told me he is now in the chemical manufacturing business, where he makes all manner of exotic chemicals for research and development. That he has found this legal training very useful for him. Larry has been married since his last year of college, and I believe I did mention that he has two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I might say something about my son's wives, because their choices of spouses and the interests of those spouses would give some measure of the interests and influences of my sons. Rick's wife is currently a docent at Carnegie Museum, where she especially excels in discerning and explaining the Jewish influences in various works of art. She has acquired a considerable measure of fame in this area, and she is considered expert in the field. She has been called upon to lecture, not only in and around Pittsburgh, but at such places as the Concord in the Catskills, where I have had the pleasure with my other members of my family to join her. Our younger daughter-in-law is presently a member of the board of Rodef Sholem and was previously the first female president of the junior congregation. She was also, at one time anyhow, the youngest member of the Rodef Sholem board. All of our granddaughters have continued their Jewish education to this day, and Rick's older daughter has just completed her first year at Brandeis,
where she's majoring in Judaica and Near Eastern studies.
She chose Brandeis specifically because her choice for major is Judaica, and she felt that she could get the best course there.
She wants to go to law school. After she finishes college, she intends to go to law school.
At one time, she had talked about wanting to be a rabbi,
mm-hmm.
but apparently she's going to follow the law with a little different tinge, because as of now, her inclination seems to be to become a lawyer. She's bright, very mature for her 19 years, and she has some strong views, as I guess do all 19-year-olds. I say strong, somebody else might say stubborn. But she definitely has views on Judaism and things Jewish, and she is a very strong supporter of Israel.
She's already been there 3 times.
She made one visit to Israel with her family, one visit during the summer for 6 weeks, and in her last semester of high school, she received permission to spend that time in Israel, and she was able to graduate with her class merely by taking a written examination in the English course that she had failed to complete because of her departure in the last semester. She is interested in AIPAC and hopes
to be the liaison.
Yes, she is presently the liaison between AIPAC and Brandeis University. Our younger son's older daughter has been active in the Pittsburgh Jewish community. She has adopted a senior citizen as a grandmother, surrogate grandmother, I guess. And she also helps to serve the senior citizens at the Friday night dinners at the center.
Mm-hmm.
And she has participated in activities at the Jewish Community Center. And now, at age 17, she is presently a senior counselor at the Emma Kaufman camp. Her sister is spending these 6 weeks in Israel, and Rick's younger daughter is at Camp Ramah for the summer in Canada, Camp Ramah in Canada.
Well, now we've hit the present. Can we go back to the past and talk about the Depression?
The Depression is a rough period to think of. I remember grown men standing on the streets of Pittsburgh polishing apples and selling them. At that time, I remember the dean of the Pitt Law School speaking to the graduating class of 1931 and saying, "Don't worry, things will get better. We had a recession in my day, but this was not a recession, this was a depression." I remember seeing for sale signs on so many, tremendous number of houses in the Squirrel Hill area. These homes had been acquired through foreclosure mortgages by most of the insurance companies and the banks, and they were going for as little as $8,000, $10,000 for beautiful homes. There were rough times. But we all survived, and those of us who lived through that period, I would think, are much more conservative in our outlook than our children. I recall reading a regular column in one of the Pittsburgh papers by Harris.
Sidney Harris.
Sidney Harris. He also lived through the Depression, and he was commenting on the fact that his children couldn't understand why he was so conservative with money, and he couldn't make them understand. And I think at times my children probably thought I was tight, because it takes a while to get used to spending a few dollars for a Sunday New York Times, when at one time you would consider yourself very fortunate to be earning 60 cents an hour. I remember when we spent 8 1/3 cents, 3 1/4, to ride the streetcars. And now I see people calmly dropping $1 1/4 mm-hmm. into the bus box for a trip plus a transfer. So things have changed tremendously since then.
Well, I know that you're active in the stock market, even currently.
Well, active connotes trading, lots of mm-hmm. turnover. No, I am too conservative to indulge in that sort of thing. Besides, I don't know of any trader who has ever been particularly successful in the stock market. The cost of doing business eat up the profits, and it requires nimble timing, and I don't think there is a crystal ball available yet that can take care of that. No, I'm an investor, and I buy stocks as I might consider buying any other symbol of wealth, such as real estate or anything else.
Mm-hmm. What Jewish organizations did you have memberships in?
I guess just all about all of them. Just about all of them.
So that you
and I continue to support new ones, and I'm constantly amazed at the number. It seems that once you get on a list, you get the money. And